1% love is the type of love that ultimately people look at in couples or those who are in relationships and say, wow, how are they so in love? How are they so in tune? How are they so connected? What is it that they've done to be so in love? What do I need to do with my lover in order to attain such an experience of love?
This is episode number 587 with Annabelle and Meshach Spooner. We're going to be talking about how to transform your relationship, and they have a special method that I'm excited to share with you. Hi, everybody. I'm Sandy Weiner. Welcome back to Last First Date Radio, where we believe it is never too late to go on your last first date and to support you on your journey to love. I wrote two books. The first one is Becoming a Woman of Value, How to Thrive in Life and Love. And I wrote this for women who, like myself, did not value themselves enough to really succeed and thrive in all parts of their lives. And so this book contains 30 exercises and stories to help you really step into your value. And the second book is called Choice Points in Dating. And I wrote this book to really help people make the right choices. I found that we often don't even know how to get started with dating, especially if you haven't dated in a while. So this book will tell you sort of a guidebook on how to think about dating, your mindset, which really matters, how to choose the right partner, how to know if you should stay or go, how to get started with online dating, offline dating, and how to know if it's your last first date. And so you can find both of these books on Amazon for Kindle or paperback. This week's tip on becoming a woman of value from the Woman of Value book is step 26, which is learn how to delegate. This is something I really struggled with for most of my life. It's so ingrained in us that we have to do everything ourselves. And that's not our zone of genius to do everything. I mean, we go to school, we're supposed to be good at every subject. We're supposed to be independent and do it all. But when we learn how to delegate, whether it's asking somebody to do the dishes or take out the garbage or help you with your work, it is such an important thing. And this goes for romantic relationships, for parents. I see so many parents in my practice who never have expected their kids to do anything, including laundry, taking their plate off the table. These are things that actually build self-worth. So my challenge to you this week is to delegate. Delegate something, take something off your plate to give you more time to do the things that you're great at, the things that make you feel in flow, the things that you love. And before I bring our guests on, just a quick shout out to my awesome Facebook group. It's called Your Last First Date. And we are a really unique group in that we are supportive. We have very firm guidelines that create a safe space. We don't allow screenshots of text messages. We don't allow bashing of men. In the process of dating, it can be very, very frustrating and challenging. But if we just sit there and talk about how horrible other people are, we're not taking responsibility for ourselves. And that is my goal. And so join us at Your Last First Date. And now for my awesome guests, Annabelle and Meshach Spooner are intimacy alchemists. They have been together for 20 years, which is like 80 years in today's day and age. They have a vision to make 1% love a global phenomenon. They empower couples to transform their relationships into sacred unions of 1% love within only 30 days. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Sandy. What a privilege.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Coming all the way from London, England. Let's start with 1% love. Can you talk to us a little bit about what started this company? What was the inspiration behind it?
Yes, indeed. Do you want to go ahead, baby?
Yes. I mean, it's so much more than a company. It's a 1% love as a beginning is a frame of mind. And that essentially, the short version is, it's doing what 99% of people won't do in order to deepen the intimacy, to deepen the connection, to deepen the communication. And with us, our 1% love was made about 12 years ago. We became aware of it. And, you know, we had come to a fork in the road, let's put it that way. And we were very, very clear on the fact that we're about to go our separate ways. And, you know, we were like passing ships. We loved each other. We just did not like each other. And we'd come to the conclusion that that's what it was. And that was going to be okay. And, you know, we had two young sons at the moment, in between homes, all the elements were against us. And realizing, you know, on my part, if I'm about to walk away, do I love him? And the answer was yes. So the next question became, what am I going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? And that's when we began to cultivate our 1% love, something we call sacred union secrets, which are 8 points that build a foundation. And they're the things that basically, if we'd been told, they would have saved us the heartache, the tears, the back and forth. That's what it is. So we built that, and there was a lot of freedom. We knew what we weren't doing, and then we decided on what we were going to do. The freedom came, the 1% love came, and that was the result of the deep connection, the intimacy between us grew and grew and grew and has continued to do so.
Yeah, and I'll just give an addendum to that, and that is that 1% love is the type of love that ultimately people look at in couples or those who are in relationships and say, wow, how are they so in love? How are they so in tune? How are they so connected? What is it that they've done to be so in love? What do I need to do with my lover in order to attain such an experience of love? So that's my addendum to what Annabelle's just shared as well.
That's such a beautiful thing. And so many couples actually do part ways, especially when you have young kids and things are really just not as sexy as they used to be. I think I was just listening to a podcast with Esther Perel, and she was talking to a couple who had lost their intimacy. They had kind of become people passing each other and, you know, getting practical things done, but you also need to really nurture the relationships. So if you could tell us some of the key principles that make up 1% love and how you help people to attain this beautiful level.
Yes. Well, the first sacred union secret is foundation. And by foundation, what we mean is identifying your values, needs, and desires in order to be clear about your commitments. If you haven't identified what those values are, particularly your values and your needs and desires, then at some point down the road, and this is what we experienced, and this is what Annabelle touched on, somewhere down the road after the quote-unquote honeymoon period ends, or after that conveyor belt of just excitement and enthusiasm that you don't really need to conjure or cultivate ends, you're left with, wow, what just happened? How have we ended up here? If you haven't identified your values. So what we always say to the lovers who come through our quote-unquote doors is this, and through our method, is you have to build your foundation. And that is identifying your values, needs, and desires. It really all starts from there. Once you've created that foundation, that acts as the springboard to really enable you to cover all the bases in your sacred union, and enables you to really at will continuously deepen your intimacy, continuously deepen that connection, to have more fun and adventure with each other because you've contextualized what your sacred union is.
And the best part of that first step is everything can go in there. It's such a beautiful place to have that open discussion. Actually, I don't like this, but I want this. This is important to me. Don't want to do that anymore. It's the kind of most beautiful, raw place to cultivate what's going to keep you going in your sacred union.
So it sounds like the foundation is also really based in really honest communication and also self-knowledge, because so many people have no clue what their values, needs, and desires are. So I'm sure that you help them to access those through some process of yours.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So we go through a process. Ultimately, the values that we're talking about are simply that which is important to you. At your core, that which is important to you, that which you can't stray from. It's just present. It's part of your essence. And we go through a series of sequences and exercises where you are able to trigger or identify what those values are, what those important points are. And between you both, you're able to see what the common denominators are, what the parallels are, what maybe the opposites are. And you can ascertain through that process as to whether you're actually meant to be, in inverted commas, meant to be continuing together, or whether actually this isn't going to work. It isn't going to work no matter how much we try, because my core value is XYZ and Annabelle's core value is XYZ, and they'll never shall the two meet. So that's the essence of how we go about exercising that and identifying that.
And the other step we have, which comes more as a conversation, is knowing that you are enough, that you as a lover, whether, you know, before you're in a sacred union, that you're enough, because you cannot give away what you do not have. If you don't see yourself as lovable, if you don't see yourself as someone that should be communicated with, fun, attractive, the whole thing, how are you going to look for that in another person? We believe that once you know who you are, what makes you happy, then you share that. You merely share that with your lover rather than making them the complete source of your happiness. Because we believe in our sacred union, we're living our two lives alongside each other willingly.
I think a lot of people listening might think, well, we have to be all healed and perfect before we get into union. And I know that's not true. So tell us what you would say to that person.
Self-work is an ongoing process. We're now 20 years in and we still dedicate time for self-care. You know, we still solo date. There's all of those things to continue to get to know yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think one thing that we drive home to the people that we work with is your sacred union is a practice. Your self-love is a practice. Being a communicator and being a good recipient of the information that you're hearing is a practice. So with that practice, you're less likely to have disagreements that end up in a devastating place. We welcome the disagreements and we actually reframe them as something we call opportunements. So they're an opportunity. Whenever you're having a disagreement with your lover, it's an opportunity to look at how are we communicating? What's causing coming up as a stoppage? So that whole thing of, oh, we don't argue anymore, that's absolute, in our expert opinion, rubbish. You still have disagreements, but you're taking on being a steward of being a good recipient, being an active listener, being authentic with your communication, and being active and proactive in, okay, we've had this disagreement, what are we now doing going forward based on those things? So that's what we would say.
That's a cool word, opportunements. Yeah, there's no right or wrong thinking in that kind of conflict. This is an opportunity for us to clarify, to get closer, to really understand each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And actually what we always distinguish is we distinguish between right and wrong and workable and unworkable.
Yeah.
It's your journey. It's unique to you. You have to, quote unquote, set the precedent. You have to set the rules of engagement. And as long as what you're doing and how you're being with each other works for you both, that's essentially all that matters.
And it's also a malleable template. Because because you've built a foundation, everything is a practice and it's malleable. So you keep just using that same formula of it being a practice and it being malleable and you pouring into yourself so you're able to pour into your sacred union. It's that, it keeps working in tandem.
Yeah, malleable is a very important word because I think a lot of people think things are just set. You know, this is the way it is, this is the way I am, and that's it. And that speaks to a growth mindset. That speaks to something that's so essential for a healthy relationship. Tell us another of the key principles.
The second sacred union secret is foresight. And what we mean by that is ultimately taking responsibility for your entire life, but honing into communication, taking responsibility for your communication and reframing your conversations as learning opportunities. So similar to what Annabelle was just referring to as looking at disagreements and reframing them as opportunities. Mm-hmm. But for instance, I like to use the analogy of being on the court versus being in the stands. So for instance, if you think about a tennis match going on, those who sit in the stands are spectators, no matter how many opinions they have, no matter how many ideas they have, they can't affect the outcome of the game. It's only the players on the court that can affect the outcome of the game. So when we're looking at taking responsibility for our communication, it is really us stepping away from all these stories and ideas that we have and all of this self-talk going on. And for instance, to give an example, Annabelle and I sitting down, me saying, baby, I want to have a conversation. I want to talk with you. And then sharing my heart, putting myself in a vulnerable position or space where I'm sharing myself and being active in that, actually actively engaging with conversations from the perspective of me being taking responsibility, me being getting onto the court, as it were, and affecting the outcome of the game. So taking responsibility is the reason why we've named it foresight is because there's no better way to foretell what your life's going to look like rather than taking responsibility for it in full, because it's only that way you can affect the outcome of the game. So as it relates to us having conversations, that's served us so many times, because when we come to conversations and we communicate with each other, mm-hmm. although we don't get it right all the time, what we find is that when we're taking responsibility, it enables us to really see things from each other's point of view in a much more, detailed fashion. So I would say that on Sacred Union Secret number 2, would you say in addition?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. What's my favorite one? Mm-hmm. Fun and familiarity. Because mm-hmm. that, once you've got your foundation in place, you're communicating and you know you're in a place of practice, it's like, okay, what else? It's like a cake. It's like, what else can we put on top of this cake? And it's building. We listened to your last podcast as well recently, and you were speaking, who is it with again?
The one last month with the ladies from Shameless Sex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that, like, a lot of that was ringing true to what we believe in, mm-hmm. you know, and even the sexual menu, we actually have one. So mm-hmm. it's about looking at the practices we have and doing those. And if those don't work, it's like having conversations about desires and things like that and injecting that into our sacred mm-hmm. union as well.
Mm-hmm. So that's sex and other fun things as well, like just recreation, what you do for date night, stuff like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It's really about injecting playfulness into the sacred union. So, you know, as we've said, we've been together for 20 years. And although we haven't exhausted all options, we've done a lot of things together. So it's about keeping things fresh. It's about exploring things on a very simplistic level. It could be as simple as
a nice little slap on the bum.
Yeah, absolutely. And things as simplistic as, you know, being at home and curating a space where we can just laugh together. Stuff like that, even stuff like that. So, I mean, can you think of an example where we would sit together at home and curate a space where we can laugh?
Yeah, we do card games a lot, questions. We sit down and we ask each other questions, because we're never, the journey of understanding ourselves never ends. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, who was your first best friend? How do you relate to your mom? How do you relate to, you know, all of those questions that help us to understand ourselves and in turn each other. So we ask each other a lot of questions randomly as well.
Yeah.
Curiosity is so important, and people start to be so familiar with each other, I think, sometimes, that they're not curious anymore. They think, well, I know what you're saying. I know your thoughts. I know everything about you. And people want to be seen. And if you're an evolving human, you are not going to always have the same answer to every question, right?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Definitely. Yeah, there's so many different seasons of ourselves as well. And that's another thing in Sacred Union, in 1% Love, is with every season of yourself, bring your lover with you. Because there was a time, definitely, it's like, I'm loving, you know, my lover from page 5, and he's on page 27. So there's, you know, again, there's that happening. And it's like, okay, I'm this person now. Because of this, this is who I'm going to be. And it's like, okay. So then I get a chance to actually meet this new version. It's not a different person, it's just a new version, because mm-hmm. we're in a new season of ourselves. So that's another thing that keeps everything fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. So even we talked about foundation and identifying values, needs and desires. That's a consistent game to play, is actually re-identifying once in a blue moon, re-identifying your values, needs and desires mm-hmm. to see if anything's changed, which likely it will have.
Definitely.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Amazon Music Unlimited. You can listen to over 70 million songs and thousands of playlists and stations. Plus, you can now stream your favorite podcasts, like Last First Date Radio. You can listen to any song, anytime, anywhere, on any of your devices. Get Amazon Music Unlimited for free for 30 days. Just head on over to getamazonmusic.com/lastfirstdate to learn more and claim this offer. What's another principle?
I would say, Annabelle mentioned familiarity. And familiarity, what we mean by that is creating shared habits and rituals. Mm. So there's a real fine line, or not a fine line. I think there's an important dance. There's a dance between spontaneity and ritual. We want to have the spontaneous things going on in our sacred union. That's very, very important. But equally, we want to anchor ourselves with some shared rituals and habits that enable us to know this is the structure for the week. This is the structure for the month. We can always anchor ourselves and come back to that. So I think familiarity is a very important thing in that context. It's that familiarity of ritual and habits.
So one of our rituals and habits is something we call bookending. So every morning and every evening, we say a mantra to each other, which is, I love you, and we're on the same team. So it's something that keeps us connected every single day. And if we haven't said it, we're reminded, have we said it today? Mm-hmm. So it's something that keeps us. I love you because we do love each other and we're on the same team means when you're on a team, you don't necessarily always get on, but the outcome is to play as a team. So with whatever goes on through the day, that keeps us. So we bookend the day, sandwiched in between that. I love you, we're on the same team to rise. And I love you, and we're on the same team, last thing at night. And it's cute as well. It just feels, you know, there's so many different ways to say it as well, which is really, really lovely.
It's really helped us over the years.
So much.
Massively. Because it keeps us dead center with the fact that even when we disagree with each other, even when we don't see eye to eye, that we're not opposition. We're not against each other. We're not attempting to win an argument or win the game at the expense of the other. And that's so, so important. Quite often, we in relationships, we do have this antagonistic back and forth with our lovers. And we truly act, even if we don't think it consciously, we really act like we are against each other.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, it goes without saying that itself is a real Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And I see so many relationships end because people don't know how to resolve things like that. But what you're also saying to me reminds me of a video series I just did that's on Instagram right now. It's about chemistry and compatibility. And you need the balance of both. And there's a paradox because compatibility is really about safety and security because you share the foundation. And chemistry is more about arousal and desire. And often we don't know how to make both work. You know, we don't know how to make them coexist because we need the safety, but then it becomes boring in the desire side if you don't add that excitement and adventure. And so knowing how to do all these things that you're talking about really help to balance the chemistry with the compatibility.
Amazing. That's beautiful.
That is so beautiful. We'll definitely check that out for sure.
Yeah, the polarity is a really important thing to grasp and to navigate and interface with, because naturally polarity exists on multiple levels. And that is also included in our sacred unions. We can't get past what you've just said, the compatibility and chemistry. We can't get past spontaneity and ritual. We have to dance with the two because they're all incredibly important, you know.
Yeah. So let's dive a little deeper into some of the challenges that people have and why it can be so hard to have that 1% love.
One of the things we use is how we speak to one another. It's not what's being said, it's how it's being said. So in 1% love, we have something which is safety words are not just for sex, right? So if we're having a discussion and it's going back and forth, and, you know, a deal breaker for me is raised voices. I'm not really into that. It's not really my kink. So that's something that forms as a stoppage. So we have a safety word, which is completely ridiculous, which takes us out of the space. And the conditions are we must stop, but we must return to it in a different energetic space. Mm-hmm. So the safety word we have is giraffe. So if it's getting too much, we say, do you know what, babe? I think this is a giraffe moment. Mm-hmm. And we both have to put everything down. We've got to stop. We have to come back. And that's letting us know what we are disagreeing about is important, but it needs to be done in the right energy. And it's something that can easily happen, especially if you're both passionate about what you're disagreeing about. So that's something that's important. And the practice of that is a lot of us weren't shown how to speak to one another. You know, we haven't come from any examples of harmonious communication. So it's something we've had to build. And, you know, when you're spoken to in a way that doesn't work, it's like, okay, well, how would I like to be spoken to? And what would happen if we were able to have the same discussion with a different energy? That's where that was kind of born from. So we're able to, again, it's a practice, because the first few times we did it, it took a long time for the giraffe to be accepted in the space.
Yeah.
every so often, it creeps in where we have to really pull that giraffe by the reins. But it's, you know, how we speak to one another is important. And we also don't get hung up on the how we're speaking to each other because of the foundation that we have.
Another thing is in talking about values and needs and other things like that, we, in our resetting of our relationship and really re-identifying it as a sacred union of 1% love, we started to share everything. And when we say everything, we mean everything, all of our fantasies, whether we wanted to act upon them or not, all of these other things. We started really going deep and sharing openly and honestly, knowing that if we're going to have a sacred union of 1% love, we're gonna need to bear it all. And that takes something. It obviously takes a level of trust between each other. It takes a level of vulnerability between each other in order to do that. But that's a really important thing when you're in a sacred union of 1% love to do, or when you're in a relationship across the board, is cultivate an environment with each other where that trust is present and that ability to be vulnerable is present, so that you can share those fantasies. And I think that, and we were even talking about this today, or you were talking about this with me today, baby. Mm-hmm. If you are in a relationship and you can't share those deeper fantasies, if you will, then what does that actually say about your relationship? Where does that leave you ultimately? If you can't, on a simplistic level, if you can't share. And I think that that's a lot of, when it comes to connection and intimacy between lovers in a relationship, there's a stoppage that comes because they're not sharing their full selves. So that's a very important thing to really dive into, is cultivating an environment and space with each other where you can feel comfortable enough to share, or at least you know you can share, even if it is uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know? And those are the very small moments that we talk about where intimacy is actually built. It's not built in the, oh, we went on a date and we shared. It's in those moments and those decisions to, okay, I'm going to be a safe space for my lover right now. I am going to be brave and I'm going to share an intimate detail. Those are the moments that you don't forget. Those are the glue, you know. And, you know, the polarity of that is when people are coming to the end of their relationships, those little moments, they look back, it's the look they gave me over and over again. It was the negligence. It was the dismissal. Those are the little spaces in which the intimacy is actually broken. So it's in those little moments in that decision to, I'm going to share, I'm going to be a good recipient, I'm going to ask a question. That's where the intimacy is built. And the sacred part of it is the fact that we have a duty of care over our intimacy with each other that we renew over and over and over again.
Yes, intimacy is definitely built on having those hard conversations, on really opening up. And I run this large Facebook group, and I see so many couples struggling with this, where they're in relationships where they don't feel safe to bring up hard things. And even when they do bring them up, they say it in a way that isn't 100% authentic. So we had an example of somebody who was in a relationship with somebody who's not taking care of his health. And it really upsets her. That's her profession. She's a health coach and she loves everything else about him, but he's unhealthy and he smokes and he eats too much and he doesn't exercise and all these things. And so, you know, how much do you ask the person to change and how do you ask them for what you want? I like the question you asked before, like what is this relationship to you? If you can't share these moments, what does it say about your relationship? And for a lot of people, they don't have the confidence to walk away. They don't believe there's something better out there. Maybe I'm being too sensitive or there's something wrong with me. So can you address those kinds of situations?
Yes. Oh my gosh, it's so multifold. But what I think about is, and it's something that when we're working with people to build their sacred union, we very much make it so it's very specific to them. But something I always kind of suggest is, I'm committed to my lover's growth of being a steward of their personal growth. So if I say, for instance, with Meshach, I'm committed to your personal growth, that means mentally, spiritually, physically, you know, if I'm seeing him veering off the path of that, then it's for me to come to him and say, listen, I've seen this. I don't believe it's becoming of you, and do this. And maybe I suggest something that we can do together. Maybe I ask what's going on in that area. It's about that. So those things come from the foundation, laying the foundation of being committed to my lover's personal growth. And also that self-work of, okay, I'm committed to, I'm being my best self. It's the foundation now has been laid to have those sort of conversations. And in your sacred union, there's no reason why it shouldn't be one of the safest spaces that you have. With our relationship with our siblings and our friends, you know, there are conditions on it. But with your sacred union, it's kind of like the best possible scenario for you to be safe outside of yourself. It's like, what does it look like to have a space that I've actually cultivated with another person mm-hmm. on purpose, that's built to house my growth, that's built to get me in line, back in line with what I want to do whilst I'm here on this planet at this time. Mm-hmm. So it's that, it's setting a commitment of being committed to my lover's growth and having those. And then also for my lover to be a good recipient, not to think, oh, they told me this because they want to watch my downfall, or, oh, they're actually trying to trip me up, or they hate me, or they want to kick me whilst I'm down. It's like, okay, my lover is telling me this because they care about me. They care about my personal growth. They care about who I am in this sacred union. So that's what I'd say. It's about putting the commitments in place so that the conversations flow as a result, rather than, listen, you're getting fat. It's not that.
Yes.
And also, Sandy, you mentioned earlier on, you mentioned growth mindsets versus fixed mindset. Right. And it's so important, as much as we can, to lend ourselves or give ourselves to a growth mindset, to commit ourselves to being as optimized as we can, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and everything else in between. So I think that that's an important distinction. Mm-hmm. If we're not both firing on all cylinders, or at least if we're not committed to firing on all cylinders, then we're not going to experience the fullness and the abundance of what is possible. You know, and Annabelle, in giving that example, if she comes to me and she's identifying something or pinpointing something, I've already identified and I've already committed to being as optimally healthy as I can in all areas. So when she does come to me and say that, knowing that she's on my team and that she loves me and we're on the same team, I know that she's saying it for she's highlighting a blind spot for me, or something which is likely a blind spot of mine. And I can trust her to be my eyes in that particular regard.
And that's another space as a byproduct where trust is built. It's trusting, you know, and it's, again, it's a practice sometimes, you know. I use the example of saying, you know, you're fat. It's, do you know what? Let's look at some of your food choices, because it's showing up physically and in a way that I don't think is going to make you happy. You know, it's not mollycoddling to the point, you know, we're giving fluff. It's that straight to the point, from a space of, I'm holding space for you because I care about you. Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, the way you speak to your friends and your family isn't becoming of you. I don't think that's right. It's finding the ways. It's a practice.
You're holding them to their highest self, really.
Exactly. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Is there anything that we haven't discussed? I'm sure that there's a lot, but if you want to share like one more tip about the 1% Lovers Transformation Method and how couples can get on this sacred journey.
Yes. Yes. I think one thing which is really, really cool is when we talk about the snowball and the avalanche.
Yes, yes.
The silence,
yes,
not allowing the silence to become a snowball and then turning into an avalanche. And I think you articulated beautifully.
So he's saying that because I benefited from this a lot. So what happens sometimes in relationships is the silent treatment. We've all been there. It's like you've said something, they said something, you don't like it, and it's like, right, I'm gonna hold you ransom with my silence. What we do is we catch the snowball before it comes an avalanche. The snowball is the impact of something that's been said, And of course, if you allow that to snowball, it creates an avalanche, which nobody wants because it's dangerous and, you know, we could lose lives out here. So it's about saying, okay, I'm upset about this thing. Let's put a pin in it and come back. So we're acknowledging that there's something that isn't right, rather than expecting, and this can happen a lot, of why don't you understand that you've upset me? You know, you know, sometimes we just don't see it. Sometimes we don't miss it. We miss it. And it's saying, okay, I'm going to go and be upset about it, and I'm going to come back because we need to talk about this, and we need to discuss what's going on, whether it's me wanting you to hear me, whether it's, you know, wanting you to change something, and then we're going to create a course of action going forward.
And quite often the snowball happens when we allow the silence to become, quote unquote, deafening, as it were. So rather than allowing the silence to elongate and expand to the point that we give ourselves more of an opportunity to start the negative self-talk and start being overly self-righteous and thinking, how can we win an argument when we next speak and how can we justify that? Actually, let me give an example, a real life example. If Annabelle and I have had a disagreement of some sort and Annabelle's decided to go off. So if she decided to leave the house, now maybe she was always going to leave the house, but maybe she's gone at that opportune moment. And rather than allowing that silence to, as I say, elongate and expand, I send her a text or she sends me a text. And that text could be the very thing that needs to be done in order to break the silence and prevent the snowball from picking up speed and causing an avalanche. And we really have recognized that that silence, when we do break that silence, it enables us to come back a lot softer. We come back to each other with a much softer energy and disposition, and we're able to really speak a lot more amicably from that space, as opposed to coming in without having broken that silence with a text message or whatever it may be. And then there's this stern, really heavy energy, which, as we said, when you break that silence, that usually isn't present. Can it be present? Absolutely. Is it less likely to be present? Absolutely. Is it, you know?
And then we sometimes practice who goes first. So depending on who's the perpetrator, I use that word because I don't have another one for it yet. It's like, who's going to be the first person to break the silence? Who's going to be the first one to go, right, I just need a moment. And can we come back and can we talk? Mm-hmm. We have to sometimes kind of like, you know, when you go out and everyone tries to pay the bill first, it's like that. It's like, okay, I'll do it first. And knowing that going first doesn't take anything from me, because we're in this together. It doesn't, because it can feel like that. And especially for our journey, it's like, well, if I go first, then I've lost out because I'm the person that's on the receiving end of the hurt. It's like, no, if we are truly building this intimacy, if we are on the same team and we do love each other, but right now we don't like each other, then it doesn't take from me to be the first one. But that takes a lot of wrestling with the ego in the beginning. But it is a great practice. And knowing, it's like, in my solitude, you know, and I speak for myself, I'm like, okay, I'm going back to a blueprint that works, that I know has worked because we've tried and tested it. So it gives me, it's a safety net as well. I'm going back to a framework. And that's something that we do give to, you know, people that we work with. We got a framework to work with. So that framework keeps my ego intact. That framework helps me to know that I'm coming back to a sacred union and not animosity.
Yeah, it's important to have frameworks. It's important to manage your ego. It's important to not stonewall people. And I think just being able, I love the snowball and the avalanche, because that is what happens. It's those little moments, just as those little acts of kindness can help build a relationship. The little acts of these little mini abrasions can really destroy a relationship. And so catching them before they become bigger, knowing how to speak up, knowing how to self-regulate, that's a big part of it how to come back and attune to each other, which is also something people don't know how to do. And most of us didn't witness any of this growing up. And so even in people who say, well, you know, my parents really loved each other and they never argued. And I go, well, you never saw an example of how to resolve conflict. So of course, you know, we don't know. And so this is all of these tools and methods are so beautiful because they're mindful, they hold the other person as sacred and hold the relationship as sacred. So when you have the relationship as the sacred thing that you're working towards, the I is not the thing that you're focusing on. I have to get my needs met and I have to be right and I have to speak up and you have to hear me. It's more like, how do we uphold the integrity of this relationship, and what do we both need to do so we don't lose ourselves in the process, but hold that entity of the relationship is so sacred.
Beautifully said. Absolutely.
So beautiful. Absolutely. I love that. I love the way you put that, Sandy. That's really wonderful.
Well, thank you. We are coming to the end, and I have one final question for you, which I ask everyone, which is, what are the final words of advice that you have for anyone who wants to go on their last first date?
I'll count down. 3, 2, 1.
The grass is greener.
Oh my goodness.
The grass is greener where you water it. That's what we always say. The grass is greener where you water it.
Great. So explain a little more for anybody who doesn't understand this metaphor.
Don't worry about that. Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, the saying, the grass is greener, a lot of people, you know, are always looking over there. Oh, they've got this and they've got this and they've got this, mm-hmm. not knowing what it took for people to even get to those places, you know, of an elevated state. Mm-hmm. It's like, if our grass over here, everyone's got grass and we're always looking over there, it always looks greener. But unless we water our own grass, of course, everywhere else is going to look more abundant. Mm-hmm. So it's about watering what you have so it can also be green and appear greener because it's closer to you.
I like that. This whole compare and despair thing is just terrible because you don't know what else is going on. You don't know someone's history. And we say this all the time in my Facebook group also, where somebody will post something and everybody's advising that person on what to do in their relationship. So one of the guidelines I have is support, don't advise. You don't know this person's history. You don't know what they're not sharing. You don't know enough to give that person the advice to walk away from a relationship, for example. That's not your job. You can be supportive. You can say, that sounds really hard. I can tell you what worked for me in a similar situation, but you cannot tell somebody what to do based on that their life is going to be different from yours. And so we really have to water our own grass and work towards these 1% sacred unions, which I think is just a beautiful thing. Share with us your website.
Yeah, so our website is called The Spooner, or is thespoonerstate.com. That is THESPOONER, state, STATE. And particularly what we would instruct, if you will, folks to go on and check out is our free scorecard. It's called the 1% scorecard. It's simply a quiz which is taken in order to assess the health of your relationship. It's based on 5 key areas. And when you take that test, it is a free test as well. It will enable you to see what the health of your relationship is and then gives you a bunch of takeaways and action points that you can immediately implement. And that's on our website, thespoonerstate.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for coming on, for being a model for how to really elevate your relationship, how to sustain, maintain, grow, all the good things, and for helping so many people do the same.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us, Sandy. Thank you for your kind words as well.
Yes, and thank you for what you stand for. So important, because we all need to be shown the way. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. And thanks everybody for listening. If you love our show, please give us a high rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Share it with your friends. And as always, here's to your last first date. If you are ready to get unstuck, gain new tools, become more empowered, and finally find your last first date, I'd love to talk to you. Fill out an application to be considered for a complimentary half-hour love breakthrough session at lastfirstdate.com/ application.